Slava Jesus Christus, slava na vika, glory be to Jesus Christ, glory be forever. It's Father Basil again, doing another podcast. Hope everyone's doing well. It's a very nice sunny day that we have here in Saskatchewan. And I'm going to read again from the document, Love is Our Mission, The Family Fully Alive, from the World Meeting of Families, Philadelphia, 2015. And this part is called Mother, Teacher, Family, The Nature and Role of the Church. The church has institutional forms because she must work in the world, but that does not exhaust her essence. The church is the bride of Christ, a she, not an it. In the words of St. John the 23rd, she is our mother and teacher, our comforter and guide, our family of faith. Even when her people and leaders sin, we still need the church's wisdom, sacraments, support, and proclamation of the truth, because she is the body of Jesus himself in the world, the family of God's people, large. The church is our mother. We are her sons and daughters. The church is the heavenly Jerusalem, that Jerusalem which is from above, our mother. The church is the mother of our new birth. The church, as Christ's virgin bride, gives birth to sons and daughters who are born from above, born of water and spirit. What does it mean to be born from above? Does it mean we have no earthly identity after baptism? No. But it does mean that from the baptismal fonts is born the one of people of God of the new covenant, which transcends all the natural limits of nations, cultures, races, and sexes. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. It means that as sons and daughters of the church, we have a new identity that does not destroy, but transcends all of the ways in which a human being naturally construct their identities. As members of the church, we are members of the one body that is not defined by any human qualification, such as age, nationality, or intelligence, or by any human achievement, just such as efficiency, organization, or moral virtue. If the church were defined by any of these human qualities, we would have no rebirth from above, but only from here below, from ourselves and our own limited abilities. For no matter how intelligent or virtuous we are, it is nothing compared to the perfect love of Christ and his bride, the Jerusalem from above, the mother, our church. In becoming her son or daughter, we are receiving a gift, a new identity in Christ, which we cannot give ourselves. How and why the church is holy. When we say that the church is immaculate, we do not ignore that all of her members are sinful, for the church is at once holy and always in need of purification. Her holiness is the holiness of Christ, her spouse. It is the love of Christ, the bridegroom, that creates the church in the first place. The church is born primarily of Christ's total self-giving for our salvation, anticipated in the institution of the Eucharist and fulfilled on the cross. As Eve was formed from the sleeping Adam's side, so the church was born from the pierced heart of Christ hanging dead on the cross. We could say that the constitution of the church is not any virtue, holiness, or achievement we may have attained, but the self-giving love of Christ. When we are born of the church as of our mother, we are born of this love of Christ. This love gives the church her identity, not as one nation or grouping or club, humanly constituted among others, but as the bride, the spouse, who is one flesh with Christ and so one body. This love in which we are born in Christ is a love we cannot give ourselves. Once received, it is purifying, so that the church in the person of each of her sons and daughters is always being transformed in Christ's love until Christ is fully formed in all of us. This is the meaning of the image of the pilgrim church, a church on pilgrimage towards her final perfection, perfection in and by the very love that defines her in the first place. Until that time, the church will find that her pilgrimage is one of constantly following the path of penance and renewal, and she cannot and does not claim perfection except in her dowry, the blood of Christ, that is his love. When Catholics sin, it does not erase what is holy about the church. The church's basis in Christ means that sin is in the church, even sin in her ordained ministers, cannot invalidate the identity of the church or her holiness, because the identity of the church does not come from any of us. It comes from Christ. In the Old Testament, the people of God, Israel, were defined by their covenant with God, and no amount of sin on their part could invalidate that chosenness or the identity it gave them as the people of God. Wherever they went, God did not abandon them. Whoever encountered them always encountered the people of God, no matter how sinful any of the members of the people may have been. God's covenant fidelity applies also to the church. The miracle of the church is that the love of Christ that defines her cannot be erased by any sin of her members. She is a visible society in the world, but one that is not defined by anything that is of the world. That is what is so beautiful about the church. We do not have to wait for the society of 12 perfect people to be created before we can declare we have a church worth believing in. We do not place our faith in human virtues or perfections, but we believe in Jesus Christ who died for us, and by his blood made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, that is a very interesting talk today about how our church is our mother, how the church is holy, and that even though individual Catholics sin, our church is still holy. Our church was created by Jesus, so even our individual sin cannot destroy the holiness of our Catholic Church. God bless you. Have a good day.